a very close friend of mine, and I'm trying with a lot of debts. He actually took money himself, Chovos, in order to support Talmidei Chachamim, and now the wife is left with the house of Yosoimim, and also with debts, a little bit like the story, if you remember, of Ovadia. Remember, Ovadia looked after the Nevi'im in the cave, and in order to support them, he took Chovos, and then he died, and his wife was left with a whole bag of debts, and a house of children as well. It's a tragic story. A friend of mine in Yerushalayim. If any of you have any stock of money, of any sort, I will pass it on. We're a few of friends together, I'm putting a keren together for him. If any tzedakah money, any maisa money of any sort, if you'll see me after the shiur, and we'll make arrangements to collect. I won't be here next week, so maybe we can arrange it if you have anything during the coming week. It will be it's a very big mitzvah, mamash, an almona with Yosoimim. We should know of simchas between each other. This week's shiur is sponsored, is dedicated for the continued health of Nissim Hillel ben Yonina Rut for Shalema, the Soif Sha'achoyle Yisrael. I was going to do Anatilas Yodayim, and then Asher Yotza, and Birchas HaTorah, and there's a whole sequence of Shiurim. But I decided to make a break, and I wanted to do something a little bit more general, because after doing Kavona, which is very specific, and Anatilas Yodayim is specific, inside, it's the words, explanation of the words, I decided this week to do a little bit more general, which I hope you'll enjoy this year. I'm not sure if we're going to finish it, but it does two things. Firstly, there's a tremendous amount of inspiration, I hope, from the first part of the Shia, to tell you what does it mean, the connection with Hashem in Tefillah. That's the first part of the Shia. The second part is a case study of Chana. And you'll see why I chose Chana, because, as a general understanding, most of our Tefillah, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, brings all the halachas of how to daven from Chana. We learn a tremendous amount from Chana's tefillah. So therefore we're going to make a case study of the first part of the Shia. But let's begin. The first part of the Shia. You see it in front of you. I'm going to go virtually, I'm not exactly going to follow the order, but you'll see where I'm taking you. Every Shabbos morning, at the end of davening, in many shuls, I don't know all shuls, but many shuls, say Anim Zemirois. Anim Zemirois is a tefillah, a piyut, a poem which is written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. A beautiful poem of showing the connection between Odom Lamokim, the praise of Hashem, and how he dotes and how he indulges in Klal Yisrael. And the whole Kovod of Shamayim comes out through Klal Yisrael. The Bach says that we should say Anim Zemirois every single day. The Lavush brings down that we say it only on Shabbos. And as you know, we Paskin like the Lavush, we say it once a week. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem. There's one line which caught my attention, which is really the whole essence of what we're supposed to do, I believe, with our tefillah. Here's the Pasuk. Yisporer bi, ki chofeitz bi, v'hu yihyeh li, La'ateres tzvi. This is what it means. Yisborer bi. Hashem takes tremendous glory in me. In me, every Jew. Ki chofeitz bi. Because he invested in me. He desires me, but it's more than just desires. He invested in me. He saw in me something special. That's one side of the relationship. V'hu yihyeh li, and he is for me, la'ateres tzvi, like a crown of pride. Let's explain the pasuk, and then I'll show you where it's so relevant for tefillah. I remember the last time I ever heard the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Segel, he came to the Mir Yeshiva, I learned in the Mir, in the Kollel. He came a year before he died. It was Mamash Shvat, this time of the year, Shvat, and he died a year later in Shvat. And he said to a packed Beis HaMidrash, must have been about 2,000 people squeezed in, the great tzaddik from Manchester. And he said, What does it mean in the morning in Baruch Sha'amah when we say Unafa'ercha? Unagadla Shemecha, the Nazke Shimcha. What does it mean Unaf? We say it often, Unafa'ercha. Unafa'ercha means you will glory in me. There's a tremendous glory which Hashem has for me. That's Yisporer bi. Yisporer bi means to create a tremendous Kiddush Hashem in me. In every Jew, Yisporer bi. You, Hashem, take great glory and pride. It means to create a Kiddush Hashem. Why? Ki chofetz bi. You desire in me. What does it mean that he desired in me? And he explained the meaning is that of all that there is in the world, of all the nations in the world, of all in the creation in the world, of all that there is, there's one unique quality which man has over anybody else, and that is the koyach of dibur. And he explained using the kuzari that, as we know, there are five levels of division in the creation. The lowest of all creation is called a doimein, a stone, a rock, sand. Higher than that is called a tzoimeach, a plant, a tree, a flower. That's higher in creation, it has life. Higher than that is called a chai, a bird, a fish, a cow. Higher than all of creation is not called a human being. Highest in all of creation is called a medaber, koyach ha-dibur. Doimein, tzoimeach, chai, medaber. Koyach ha-dibur is the great sophistication of a person, of a human being. Much more than the value of gold, much more than a skyscraper, much more than a great feat in sport. The greatest ability is the koyach ha-dibur. And therefore, yisborer bi ki chofetz bi. His great glory is in me, in a human being, because ki chofetz bi, he gave me the power of speech. Now we have to go further, because the Kuzari says that there's a higher level of speech. Regular speech is, hello, good morning, how are you? What's doing? That's speech. Much higher than that is the koyach of dibur bein odom lamokoim. That's not normal speech. That's a very high level. The Gemara we brought last week in Brochus, Daf Vov Amud Aleph, Devorim She'omdim Berumoy Shel Olam. Koyach of speech is a very, very high, high level in Tefillah. It's not normal. We explained last week, that's why the Mishnah says in Brochus, in the 10th, 9th Perek, Chasidim HaRishonim Hayu Shoa Achas Lifnei HaTefillah. The Chasidim used to wait an hour before davening and an hour after that. Why? Because they realize this is not normal speech. This is way up. This is the highest level of speech you can reach. Koyach ha-dibur. Now go back to the pasuk. Yisporer bi ki chofetz bi. He takes more glory than anything that anybody can say in the world because I speak words to him. That is the greatest glory of any feat, anything done in the world, is the glory of speech used to its highest exclusive level. The most sophisticated level is the koyach of speech in tefillah. Let me give you a range, and you'll see what I mean, what it means here. Let's take the complete range, two extremes. You're walking in a wilderness, and you're parched. You have nothing to drink. You must drink something. And all of a sudden, you see an oasis. And that oasis gives you life. Speech from one person, ben odom lachaveiroi, you say something to somebody, ben odom lachaveiroi, we're not talking about tefillah here, you can say something to somebody and you can literally make them live. In chinuch bonim, say something to a child, the child will live forever. Say something to a spouse, say something to somebody. The koyach of speech bein odom lachaveiro is an oasis in a wilderness. You can cause life by speech. the other way is, supposing you're walking along, it's a beautiful day, beautiful spring day, and you turn the corner and you discover to your great upset that a sewer has broken in the street. The smell is impossible. Impossible smell. Speech can be an absolute sewer. At its lowest level, it can be filthy. I'll give you an example, which I myself experienced. A friend of mine was once coming out of the Meir Yeshiva, and I was coming down the steps with him, and he was crying. And he was broken. I went over and I said, "No, Moshe, what happened here? Why are you so upset?" He said, "I'll tell you what happened. I just called up my son's Rebbe. My son is in a cheder. I called up the Rebbe. And I asked the Rebbe, how's he doing?" And the Rebbe told me, I says, "Wait a minute, one second. His name's Cohen. You're the father of Yankel Cohen? I want to tell you something." The Rebbe said to me, "Your son is Ephes. Your son is worth zero." He says, "What do you mean my son is worth zero? He's worthless," the Rebbe said to me. "I'm finished." That's called a sewer. That Rebbe ought to be taken out and shot. To say to a parent, "Your child is Ephes." No one's Ephes. That's a sewer. That's the most devastating comment to say to a parent. "Your child is worthless. He's Ephes. He said, "I'm crying because I didn't know my son was that bad. I thought he had some virus." Now you begin to understand what it means. Yisporer bi, the greatest glory that you can ever get is kichofetz bi, he invested in me. Now, the investment in me is my speech, but I have the fifth level higher than anybody else, because I can talk to him. That's what it means in the line, kichofetz bi, because I talk to him in prayer. Who in the world turns around and says, "Mechalkel chayim b'chesed mechayim"? Who in the world says, "V'yohavdois Hashem anokel"? Who says that? No one says that. No one turns around and says, "Poiseach es yodecho u'masbia hazon es ha'olam kulay b'tuvay." Who says this? No one says this. We say it. The greatest possible glory of Kovod Shamayim is in a moment. You know, the Chaim Volozhin's beautiful explanation of a Chilul Hashem and a Kiddush Hashem. The word Chilul Hashem comes from the word Chalal. Chalal means a vacant spot. There's nothing there. The meaning, says Reb Chaim in Nefesh HaChaim, of Chilul Hashem means in a situation in life, you create a situation that Hashem's not there. You can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can act exactly what you want because he's not there. That's a Chilul Hashem, because you vacuumed him out. you sweeped him away. A Kiddush Hashem is what Yosef did in front of Eishes Potiphar. When the lady turned around and trying to entice him, and he turned around and said to her, "One minute, lady. I'm in the room and you in the room, but I'm afraid you didn't realize there's someone else in this room. I cannot do this with you. V'chotosi le'elokin." That is an immense Kiddush, because he brought Hashem into the room. He created a mokum for Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem. A Chilul Hashem would have been if he would have turned around and said, "I can do what I want because Hashem's not here." That's the meaning of it. So when a person turns around and says, "Asher yotzar es ha'odom b'chochma," or a person turns around and says, "Shema Yisrael," at that moment, there is an immense Kiddush Hashem, because you created from those words in that time, or you said a bracha, you benched, whatever it was, it's phenomenal, because no one says such a thing like that. Yisbore bi ki chofetz bi. And in reply, v'hu yihyeh li lateres tzvi. Now, what we don't realize is the reciprocated act back. I crown Hashem, and he crowns me. V'hu yihyeh li lateres tzvi. I receive a crown of delight, a crown of decoration. Ateres tzvi is like I'm walking around with a tremendous crown on my head. because of who I am and what I say. And that's the dual relationship. On that basis, we can begin to understand how tefillah works. That's the beginning of understanding. It's something like a bridge. It's a bridge of connection, a bridge of communication. Let me give you a marshal. I lived for many years, 30 years in Yerushalayim. In the last few years, if you ever pass the entrance of Yerushalayim and you're in a taxi, most taxi drivers get extremely angry when you take a look at that bridge at the entrance. They go bananas. So much money. And who needs to spend so much? And that bridge at the entrance of Yerushalayim causes tremendous aggravation and contention. I went past it so many times and I heard so many comments about the bridge. I thought to myself, there must be something positive about that bridge. There must be something good about it, instead of just everybody getting so angry about it. And I thought like this. Yerushalayim, as we know, is the meeting place of heaven and earth. There's nowhere else in the world where Hashem is connected. That is the location, if we can say the tzimtzum, of the Shechina, Ba'olam Hazeh, begins in Yerushalayim. It was called, in Shmuel Aleph, Il David, the city of David. David HaMelech bought it, captured it, acquired it. We know from the Shmuel Aleph that he laid out the floor plan of the whole of the Beis HaMikdash. He couldn't build it, but everything was prepared beforehand. It's called the Il David. And the way David HaMelech connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through his music, through the kinah. That was the relationship. Now, look at that bridge again when you go past it. It's at the entrance of Yerushalayim, and the spire shoots up and soars up to Shomayim. And there are, I counted them once, 62 cables. All the cables going up. Think of this. This is the mokum. I'm coming into the mokum of Chibur Shomayim Va'oretz. I'm supposed to connect with Hashem in this city. That's what Yerushalayim is for. If you go to New York, you go there to make money. If you go to Las Vegas, I suppose you also go to make money. If you go to Oxford or Cambridge in London, in England, you go to study, I suppose. If you go to Yerushalayim, it's one thing. Ki mitzion teisei Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. Yerushalayim is made to connect with Hashem. How many ways do you connect with Hashem? How many ways do you have Haidor? One cable. Maybe there's another cable of Rina. You're overjoyed. Maybe there's a cable of Tshuva. A cable of Bakosha. A cable of Charota. A cable of Kiddush Hashem. There are many ways. And all the cables, which are all shooting up to Shomayim, are all telling you that when you look, and it's made in the shape of the Harp of David, it's a moshul. But it makes you jolt a little bit when you come into Yerushalayim. How many ways can I connect with the Almighty? How many ways do I have? Maybe you should go into Yerushalayim and say as follows, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, that my trip this time to Yerushalayim, I should find a new way of connecting with Hashem. Another way. All these ways, they're all linking up. That's the purpose of the bridge. In other words, it's a chibur, a connection. All on this basis of Yisporei Bi, I talk and he relates to me. So it's a bridge, it's a connection. Let's take another bridge. If you drive up the FDR in New York, so you come to the George Washington Bridge. And George Washington Bridge, everybody goes, it's supposed to be one of the most magnificent. When it was built, Le Corbusier, who built it, said it was the most magnificent bridge ever built in the world. It connects New York to New Jersey. And you know, you're getting close to the new George Washington Bridge, because when the traffic snarls up and you just hope there's nothing on the path and you can hope you can get through. There's only one way to get through to the, you have to go on the path, you have to go on the lane, and the lane's going over there. I crossed over it so many times going backwards and forwards when I go to New America. I thought of this. This is a main connection, no? It's a bridge going across. There are four towers of the George Washington Bridge. They support the cables. which join you across from one side to the other. Those towers support the connection. We have on our bridge to Shamayim towers which connect us to the Almighty. There's a tower in the morning which supports the cable. It was made by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Tikein Shachris. Meaning, if you open the Siddur at 8 o'clock in the morning, you'll get through. There's a connecting cable. You're using his line. It connects through. That's the tower. It holds, it supports the line going through. It's a phenomenal cable here. At 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you have another opportunity. You have an appointment. There's no luck here. There's no, perhaps you'll always get through. That's the cable, that's the tower which supports the connection going across. And similarly at the Ma'ariv time. So we have cables, it's a link, it's a connection going across. That's the way we should think of tefillah. I have fixed times, and I make a connection, and I get through. That's the tremendous schus that we have of reaching, of using the bridge which is there. Let's go to number C. I want to build up ideas with you, and there's more of inspiration this year, but to connect the ideas that when you daven, you have a connecting, you have a bridge, a connection there. What's the raw material of the bridge? It's the koyach of dibur. It's the most exclusive skill in all of creation. The power of speech, and that's how you make the connection. It goes across, and I link. It's not through my checkbook. It's not through my kitchen. It's not through my business or my factory. It's through my speech. Like, that's the bridge. And the bridge goes across, and I get through. And I have towers which support the cables, and I make a connection. I always get through. Different cables get me across all the time. This connection that we make is a national expertise. It's an incredible ability in Klal Yisrael. If you remember when Klal Yisrael arrived, this week's Parsha, in Parshas B'Shalach, when they arrived at Yam Suf, the Baruch Shalom turned around and said, Ma titzak elai? Why are you crying to me? Hashmi'ini es koylech, hari'ini es ma'ayich. Let me hear you talk to me. Hashmi'ini, let me hear, says the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yoynosi b'chag be'hasela, b'seisa ha'madrega, Hashmi'ini es koylech, let me hear your voice. Let me hear, says Rashi, Topsu umnus avoison, they snatched the expertise of the Ovois, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They used that expertise, and with that the sea opened up. They had a crossing. It came about through the Koyach of Tefillah. So we understand that this is a skill which we have. This bridge, which everybody makes, hopefully, in a lifetime, you make a connection. That connection is a national skill. It's handed down, it's a legacy from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you can get through. You have that ability. Interesting, the Vilna Gaon says on the Pasuk, Hashmi'ini es koylech, hari'ini es malayich. The Gaon is medayik on the Loshon es. He says, es is do it again like you did before. In this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Boy, they mishru es, they took the tzoin for the Korban Pesach, and they did dam mila and dam korban pesach. That was the maisa mitzvah. Now, when they arrived at the Yam Suf, says the Gaon, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Hari'ini es marayach." Do again another act of emuna. You did an act. You took their elil, the idol in Mitzrayim, and you made of it into a korban. Do again another act, and that means walk into the sea. Another act of emuna. Hashmi'ini es koylech. In Parshas, at the beginning of Shemos, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, they cried out. Now the Baruch Hu says, now, Hashmini eskoylech, cry again to me. Let me hear you call me. And then you'll get across. And that was the S again, which comes out. It's a national skill. It's a whole umnus by us in Klal Yisrael. This ability to be able to daven and to be able to communicate with Hashem, using the bridge and creating a bridge. Finally, in this introduction, which I wanted to show you, this idea of creating a connection, a personal connection. Maybe we can bring down the Moshel of Rabbi Elia Lapian, which is really the basis of all the cables, all the lines which go across. Rabbi Elia once said the following Moshel. Supposing you're here in Bet Shemesh, in the olden times when they used to have phones, not with a mobile phone, but if you had to go to a phone box. So in order to pick up a phone and call somebody in America, you need to know three things in order to make sure that you're going to get through. Number one, when you pick up the phone, you must know that there's a cable from here all the way to New York. The first thing is the cable. Second, said Rabbi Elia, that when you dial the number, you must punch the right numbers. If you punch the wrong numbers, you're never going to get through. You're never going to get through. And number three, when you make a call, you must always speak clearly. If you don't speak clearly, no one can't hear you on the other side, said Rabbi Elia. This conversation, this bridge, this communication which you're making with Ribbono Shel Olam, first of all, you should know there's a cable. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made the cable. There's definitely a line. There's no question, that's what it means. Avraham, the Ovos Tiknum, they made the cables. Secondly, the Nusach HaTfila is the right number. You must use the Nusach. You can't make up your own. You'll never, we did it last week, you'll never in 100 years ever be able to compose a text which gets through as well as the text of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They created the Nusach is the telephone number. You get through. There's no question you get through. Every time you say Mechalka Chaim B'Chesed and you say these words, you get through. The Nusach gets you there. And thirdly, speaking clearly is Kavona. You say the words with Kavona. Beautiful Moshe. And that's the way the bridge works. The bridge connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an incredible expertise. It's using the highest skill that you have, much more than any other skill there is. There's no greater skill, like, I don't know. Every nation has a national expertise. Those Swiss are very good at making watches, I don't know. America's good at baseball. England are good at, educational systems, I don't know, whatever they are. The Japanese are good at making cars. Klal Yisrael are good at talking in prayer. It's a skill. That's what Bilam realized. Bilam, when he turned around and he saw the koyach, he recognized this is a koyach of Klal Yisrael. It's an incredible koyach. We learn in Parshas Volok. And that connection is the greatest glory which Hashem has from us. That we praise Him, we thank Him, we acknowledge Him, we talk to Him. And that is the basis of the bridge of the connection of what we have. That's the first part of this shiur, which I wanted to open up the idea of the connection, which we'll come back to later in the shiur, Mitzvah Hashem. What I now wanted to do is to show you how the bridge works. And I've taken Chana as a case study to show you certain limudim of what the Chana did. And it's basically following Psukim inside Shmur, which I've copied out for you from the Chazal, from Medrash, what we learn from Chana's Tefillah, and it shows you how, what the abilities are on the bridge. How does the connection work? How does the cable work? What is the basis of this bridge of line of communication? And I'd like to just learn through with you some of them, and there are tremendous limudim from Chana as how the cables work, how the bridge functions. Here's the first one. The Pasuk says, Vatispalel al Hashem. Omer Rav Elazar, Chana heticha dvoim klapei Maila. The great Maila of Chana was that she cast words up high. What's on Loma? She'omra divrei nitzuach klapei Shmaya. She said successful words on Shemayim. Meaning, it does not say V'loiksiv vatispalel el Hashem, vatispalel al Hashem. The meaning is as follows. Why was Chana so successful in her tefillah? She reached a level of prayer where she didn't just ask Hashem for a child. She davened for and on behalf of Shamayim. When, if I have a child, I'll give the child over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what she did. She davened for Kavod Shamayim, not for me, for you. It's a very high madrega. We daven like that once a year. The basis of the tefillah of Yomim Noiroin is all for Kovod Shamayim. You'll ask a question, why is it on Rosh Hashanah when Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim are open and everything is being decided, my parnosa, my health, my wealth, my happiness, why is it that there's no shopping list which is there on Rosh Hashanah? There's no list, basically. Avinu Malkeinu, perhaps, the Sefer Chaim, but basically, all the tefillah is V'sim lo'ichato Hashem l'badecho akom ve'imoscha akom asher barosa. The whole basis of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is for him, it's not for me. I'm asking for you. It's for you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Chana always davened like that. That is Falel Al Hashem. She davened for Kavod Shamayim. It's a very high madrega of tefillah. That's the way she davened. She said, if I have a child, I don't need a child to play on the floor with toys. I don't need a child to walk down the streets with a pram. That's not my intention. Her intention was for you. Al Hashem, not El, Al Hashem. A very high madrega of tefillah. Secondly, we learn Vatoimah Hashem Tzavokos. There's a certain method in prayer which we learn from this. You'll see. I'd like to learn out the Chazal. Omar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Siloin. Omar Chana lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the way she davened. Ribono Shel Olam. Yesh tzvo lemala v'yesh tzvo lemato. You have an army, a host. You have soldiers up there and soldiers down here. Hatzava shel malo loy oichlim loy shoysim loy porim berabim loy meisim elachaim loy olam abo. The angels malachim don't eat, don't drink, they don't have families, they don't die, but they live forever. Vhatzava shel mato oichlim b'shoysim uporim berabim umeisim ve'inam chaim. The army down here, human beings eat and drink, and they have children, and they die, and they don't live forever. Look at these words. Ve'eni yodas, said Chana, I'm not sure. Me'ezet tzva ani. No, Ribono Shel Olam. Where do I belong? In mitzvah shel malo ani. If I belong to malochim, b'seder, lo echye, lo yecheles, lo shas, lo moylida, okay, then I won't have children. Elachai lo olam. V'im mitzvah shel mato onaychi, ehei moylida, vo yecheles v'shoise. What's going on here? What's Chana doing here? I think there's one feature of this when it says, she spoke out. She spoke out on her heart. It's not called having it out with Ribono Shel Olam. It's not like tainuming. It's saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't understand, who am I? She opened up her heart. Tefillah is a conversation. You speak out what's on your mind. Now, where do I belong? Where do I come from here? She opened up all her, I don't know what I am. And she opened up and discussed with Ribono Shel Olam. It's not banging on the table and timing. It's speaking out what's on her mind. And she said it out. Next one, she said, Dobar Acher, Chana Chayim Medaros, Oyla L'Regel V'Rasa Kol Yisrael. She saw the people by Oyla Regel. And she said, Omer L'Fon, Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Tzavos, Halolu, Yeshtocho, Ve'eni Echav Mehem. I can't have one child. She talked it over. She spoke it out. Our tefillah is so often just a recording once again of the words of the Siddur. We've mentioned it previously in the Shiurim. The idea is to thread our thoughts into the words of the tefillah rather than just reciting it. One has to have your own private thoughts as you're saying them and feed them into the words. She spoke it out. She talked out what was on her mind. One of the koichos of Chana. Look at the next one. V'chana hi medaberes al libo. Omer Rabbi Elozar mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Al iske libo. It's the same thing. Omra lefono. Ribono Shel Olam. Kol ma sheborosa beisha leborosa dova achela batola. Whatever you created on a woman, there's nothing wasted on a woman. Einayim lirois. I have eyes to see. Oznayim lishmoya. I have ears. Choytem leharich. A nose to smell. Pe ledaber. Yodayim. Hands laisois behem melocha. Raglayim lahalach behem. Dadayim lahanik. I'm made in order to nurse a child. Dadayim haloshe nosat alibi. Why am I made like a woman to nurse? Loyla honig bohen, I can't nurse a child. Ten li ben, for onig bohen. It's a plea. It's speaking out. What am I made for? I'm made to nurse, so let me nurse a child. She opened up and to speak out with a passion. What am I doing here for? What's my purpose, if not to the... She opened up. Tefillah is supposed to be a conversation. They always used to say when the Chofetz Chaim, the people go to the Chofetz Chaim for brocha, for a certain saga they have, the first thing the Chofetz Chaim used to say, I've read it many times, first thing Chofetz Chaim says, what do you mean? Why are you coming to me? Just talk to him. Talk in your own words and speak it out. Say what's on your mind and speak it. That's the bridge. That's, in reality, behind the bridge, that's where all the glory comes as well. I'm talking to him. I'm expressing to him. It's on my mind. I talk it over. It's a skill of tzaddikim, but we have to acquire that, because that's the way one davens, talking out what's on your mind, what bothers you so much. Next one, number four. It says in the Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, it says the following words, and there's a certain rule which we learn from Tfilah here. Bo'oni Amosecha. Give me a child to Bo'oni Amosecha, to your the poor person who is your handmaid. Al Tishkaches Amosecha. Don't forget your handmaid. V'nosata la'amosecha, and give to your handmaid a child. Omar Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. If you notice, it says the word Gimel Amosa Salonu Loma. Why does it say the word Amosa three times? Amosecha, Amosecha three times. Loshen Misa. It's an expression of Misa. Amosecha is Misa. Omar Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. Shloisha bitkei Misa barosa b'isha. There are three death checks which are made on a woman. Sha'isha nivdeket bohen v'shas ha'sakona. The loyaleinu, if a woman is in danger, there are three situations where she can be, they ask in Shamayim about who she is. She'imim yimotza echon tomus. If she's faulty in one of them, then loyaleinu chas v'shalom, she can be severely punished. V'omrola shloisha divkei mis. We know the three are explained. V'eluhein nida, chala, and hadlokas haner. Three things a woman has to be very careful with. Nida, chala, and she's trusted. She's trusted in if she's tomei or tahoira. Chala and hadlokas haner. Taking chala and hadlokas haner. Said chala. Klum avarti al achas mehem. I wasn't over on one of them, and therefore I'm asking for a child. What's the rule of the on the bridge here? What's the contact here that we're learning from here about tefillah? It's personal integrity. If a person has a serious lung problem, and he continually smokes, and asks when it comes to Shemon Esrei, or for Einu Hashem b'nei Rofei, but he smokes. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. So you have to, in order to say the words Rafa'inu Hashem, you have to take every precaution you can. We're not malachim, but at the same time, there needs to be an integrity. You can't ask for something if you'll never ever fill the bill in integrity. There has to be an integrity in tefillah. We're not malachim, but there needs to be a certain cheshbon hanefesh, that's what we're saying. In order to say the words, you need a cheshbon hanefesh. I'll tell you a maisa that happened to me, which it really hit me with a tremendous force. I understand what it means, that you have to have integrity when it comes to davening. It's a point in Musa, but it's a very powerful point. We were once doing renovations in our home, and friends advised us that in order to do that, you should take a certain architect. And they told us, take this architect, he'll really plan it out very well for you. So he came, we said, okay, he came along, and he was a chiloni, but a completely assimilated Jew who was living in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, an architect. And when he came in, I said, I really don't want to take him. I prefer to give him my parnasa to a full yid. So I went back to the people who told me. They said, take him, he's good. He said, but I prefer to take a full yid. No, he's very good. Okay, we took him. He brought the plans to us, and over the course of time that we were discussing with him, it dawned on me, maybe perhaps he never had an opportunity to ever learn any Torah. I don't know, maybe he never had a chance. Maybe this is a min hashamayim. So, let's say his name was Aryeh. So I said to him, you know, Aryeh, if at any time, maybe you want to learn something, some Torah for 10 minutes. As soon as he heard me say that, he said, Yonason, leave off. I'm not interested. He pushed me away immediately when he realized I was trying to get him involved. Okay, it's not going to work, so he was not interested. And then, he came back with comments like his the best day of the work, the best day in the year is Yom Kippur. He takes his dog in the car, drives down, the roads are empty, drives down to the beach on Ashdod and runs on the beach on Yom Kippur because no one's there, everyone is injured. He said all these things. He really tried to shtek me. Friday night he goes to Angels and gets delicious fresh chalis and watches a great movie on Friday night, he told me, and eating the chali. He was trying to get me back. And it hurt, but we carried on with the relationship. It was painful. By Yeh Hayom, he turned up, and he was mamash like crestfallen. His face was like thunder. He was very, very upset. He said, "Come inside, Abby, what is it?" He said, "I have the most terrible news to tell you." He said, "Oh, that's what is the news?" He said, "I just had a call from my daughter in Texas. She just told me she went and got married to a non-Jew." I said, "Oh, really?" I was waiting. I said, "What's so bad about it?" And he let me have it. "What do you mean?" he said. "Marrying a non-Jew? Tell me, what's so bad about it?" He said, "What do you mean? To marry a non-Jew?" I said, "But why?" So he said, "Don't you realize? I came from America to live in Jerusalem, and I wanted to be like Abraham, a founding father in this land, and my children would come here and settle the land and be Jews here. I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, Oysa Maisa Zimri Mavakshim Schaka Pinchas. What does he want? What do you expect? You want, then you have to follow the code a certain amount. How can you possibly expect to be an Avraham Avinu if you refuse under all circumstances?" And sometimes you don't realize it. It hit me so hard. And you know, we're all like that to some degree. But when we come and face the Ribbon Shel Olam in prayer and we're saying something, so there has to be, you know, I have to have a certain integrity that I can ask this request. Chana turned around and said, "Ribbon Shel Olam, I am careful on neither Chala on Adlokas Aner. I am careful on this. It's a cable on the bridge. On the connection, whenever we connect with him, we do have to maybe, again, we're not malachim, but the ability to be able to say, I can say these words, and I mean these words. And therefore I'm coming to ask for this, because the integrity behind the words." I think that's the point. Look at the next one, which is a beautiful lesson. Zera Anoshim. Chana asked for, what does it mean? Omer Rav Gavra, the Guvrin. Let's go on. I don't want to go through the Shmuel Amar, Zera Shimusha Shnei Anoshim Meman Inhun. I'd like to jump where it says Zera Anoshim in big print. Zera Shemuvla Bein Anoshim. Ki Osa Rav Dimi. Three lines from the bottom. Loi Oruch, I don't want a child too tall. Loi Gutz, too small. Loi Koton, Loi Olim. It means a meek, feeble child, or Olim means like a bully, like a real strong man. I don't want that type. Loi Tzochu, not too white, meaning he looks like a malach. V'loi gichu, and not too wild, like an Esav. Loi chochom, not a genius of a child. V'loi tipesh, not a fool. What is she asking here, Chana? Beautiful understanding here. Why not a child who's a genius? Why not a child who is strong? And underlying this is tefillah b'chochma. Something that I can handle. I don't want the best child. I want a child that I can work with, that I can bring out the best that the child has, the abilities. It's almost like Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Beisa. She's asking for what I can do best. It's a way of davening. I often find the girls come and ask me for Shiduchim, and I'm looking for the best Bocha. What do you mean the best Bocha? The best for you, not the best bocha. What you can handle with your milas and your chisroinus. There's a chochma in the tefillah here. If one asks for something that you can't do, then what's the point of it? You have to have, it's the coming to ask Ribbono Shel Olam with a certain, like chochma, they say, Ezehu chochma haroe es hanoilad. What's going to be if I have this? You have to know who you are, what your background is. In order to ask this, it has to fit me. And that's, I think, what Hannah is saying here. She asks, who can educate a genius? Who can educate a bully? If a child is feeble and everybody pushes him around. There's a chokhmah here of asking for something which a child which is, I suppose we would use the word normal, but that's a very average. In other words, we want a child that I can work with, because I have to mechanech the child. That's what Hannah was worried about. That's the chokhmah inside the tefillah. You must have an approach to understand what I can handle in order to ask Ribbono Shel Olam for it. Take a look on the other side. Another quality in the bridge, another aspect of tefillah. V'hoya ki hil b'sol lehispalel. She davened a great deal. V'pchia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. V'hoya ki hil b'sol lehispalel lifnei Hashem. Mikan shekol hamar b'tefillah ne'ene. We must explain what this means. She davened a great deal. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Tosfos brings down a contradictory chazal. Kol hamarich bitfila bo lidei koavei leiv. Anybody who davens in his marich bitfila can end up with a heartache. And here we see that Chana was malbe bitfila. What's the difference? What's the difference between malbe and being marich? Malbe is good. Marich, you get a heartache. And the meaning is as this. When a person is ma'arich b'tfilah in order to get the request that they're asking, I'm not going to stop until Hashem gives me this is what I want. Supposing the answer is no. So then you get a heartache. That's called being ma'arich. Ma'arich means I'm nudging and nudging and this, you have to do this for me and this for me. Ma'arich. Mem alef reish yod kof. Aroch. Length. Chof sofit. Being marich. Marich means that if you don't give me exactly what I want, then I'm going to daven and daven and daven. That's being marich. That leads to heartache, because it might not be what you want. Being marbe bitfila means you daven a great deal, because you realize this is the hishtadlus and the effort that I must make. Marbe is a great quality. We learn by Moshe Rabbeinu, he davened over 500 times, v'eschanan, in order to go into Eretz Yisrael. In the end, the answer was no. He was marbe bitfila. He davened a great deal. But sometimes it's a difference in intention. If the intention is this and nothing else, then you can get a heartache. If you're mad because this, I must daven a great deal. It's not necessarily the length of the tefillah, it's the approach and the intention behind the tefillah, which is critical. Next one. V'chana hi medaberes al libo. V'chana of Omer Rav Hamnuna, kama hilchus ha-gevurta. How many halachas do we learn? The mishma mehanik roi. We learn from this. Chana medaberes al libo mikale mispala tzoich sheyachave in liboi. She spoke from her heart. From there we learn tefillah needs kavona. And that, Rabbi Sai, is where we learn halacha from. Kavona in tefillah comes from Chana. She had kavona. Raks vosecho nois. Only her lips were moving. Mikan, it means shmone esrei, sheyachtoich bisfosov, that you have to move your lips. In halacha, when you daven, shmone esrei we're talking about, if you look at the words without moving your lips, is lo yotza. You have to hear what you're saying very quietly, but you have to move your lips. If it's too loud and other people hear it, it's also not correct. But you have to be able to move your lips and hear very quietly what you're saying. It's like a very quiet murmur. Chana moved her lips. V'koyla lo yishma mikan sha'om osu lehagbiya koyla bitfilosai. You're not to raise your voice. V'yachshaveh aleil Eli thought she was a shika. Mikan sha'shika osu bitzvale. When you daven, shmane esrei, you must move your lips, not with a voice too loud, and have kavona. Look at this next one. V'chana medaberes aliva. Yochol yehei magbia koilai. Maybe you should raise your voice, mispalel. No. She didn't raise her voice. Chana hi medaberes aliva. Yochol yehei mahara b'leiv. Talmud loyma raks foseh honores. Keitzad marchish bisfisosov. It's the same chazal which we mentioned beforehand. Sorry, it's the next one which I wanted to show you. HaKadosh Baruch, next one. B'chana medaberes aliba, HaKadosh Baruch nireh rochek. This is a beautiful chazal of how the bridge works. That Hashem appears to be very far away. Obeve'en korov mimenu. when you stand and talk to him on the bridge, and you're standing there in the morning, and you're making a connection on this, these are all the way it works. It has to be a conversation. The tefillah must be, have a cheshbon hanefesh. The tefillah has to be with a certain chokhmah to it. You speak out what's on your mind. There's a being ma'abit tefillah, but not being ma'arich bit tefillah. But this point is very often a problem in tefillah, that you don't see Hashem, and he appears to be far away. Says the Omar Rav Levi, Me ha'oretz adu rakia, from where we are until the sky, it means the lowest of seven rakias. And there were seven rakias from here to where we are, from where we are to the lowest level is 500 years. From here to the lowest level. So, and there were seven rakias. how on earth do my words reach the Kisei HaKovod? Oberei kamahu gavoya me'alomai. How far away he is. V'ha'odom nichnas lebeis haknesses. You go into a shul, v'oimed acharei ha'omud, and you stand behind the shtender, or a woman stands in her room and she davens. U'mispalel v'lechishel ha'kodesh baruch hu ma'azin es tefilosai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears every single word. Shenema v'chana medaberes ha'liba behezin HaKadosh Baruch Hu es tefilosai. That is one of the qualities of the bridge. The bridge works. You connect. You think he's not there. You think he's far away in Shamayim. He is thousands of years away. But it connects, and you don't need to raise your voice. It's a nes. By whispering the words and murmuring, the words go right through there. They say a person who davens with a large voice, with a voice, is mikatnei emuna. It's not the way. Whispering and the words get through. And the last point is a diuk at the end of after Shmuel was born, a beautiful limud. You might know that after Shmuel was born and he worked with Eli in the Mishkan, he made an awful mistake. He corrected Eli in part of the Avodah. He was Meira Halocha Bifnei Rabbi, and he was Chayav Misa. Eli turned round to Hannah and said, I'm afraid this child is going to have to go. It's in Shmuel Aleph there. Pasuk Kof Zayin. Hannah turned round and said, I don't want another child. This is the child I want. I don't want another child. Eli said, we'll get you another child. No, this is the child I want. And she said the following words, El Hana Hazeh Hispalalti. This is the child I davened for. Al Zeh V'loy Al Acher. I don't want another child. Shechota Le'eli V'rotza La'anisha She'inosin La'ben Acher. No. And I bought for you at the bottom the Perush of the Ma'arsha. Choviv Olai. This child is very precious to me. Shenoyladli al yedei tefilosi. This child was born through my tefillah. Mishayulad achad, and you're going to give me another child al yedei tefilosecha. No, I don't want a child from your tefillah. This is my tefillah on this child. This child is saturated with my prayers. I don't want another one. Because it's the result of all my prayers. It's seeing the result of your tefillah inside the object afterwards. I was thinking, an example, how many girls and women, you know, they daven with all their heart that they should have a zivug hogam. A boy does, a bacha does as well, a zivug hogam. What happens when you daven, stand under the chuppah? And then the zivug comes along. With all her prayers of this color, she should turn around and say, when she's standing under the chuppah, El ha-chosen hazeh hispalalti. This is the chosen I davened for. To see the results of your prayers in this, when a woman davens for her husband, for her great his success, El ha-baal hazeh hispalalti. This is the husband I davened for. When you daven for something, you're supposed to have nachas afterwards and say, this is what I davened for. It's seeing the results of the bridge. It's nachas. Hannah said, I don't want another child. All my koichas are in this object, this child. You give me somebody else, it's not the same. It's not what I'm looking for. That's the nachas of the bridge. And maybe that's the point when we're saying, let's go back to the pasuk we mentioned beforehand. This is the child I davened for, reaching one's goals through tefillah, and that's v'hu yeli lateres tzvi. When one walks away from tefillah, one should feel the crown of glory, because he takes pleasure that I turn to him, and the flip side is that, and I take the glory, and I have the nachas. You should know that because I turn to him. That's the reverse side of it, the way it works. I haven't time, there isn't time to go through the rest of this, because there's many other points which I wanted to bring out, but there's one point which I'd like to bring out, which is an experience which happened, maybe I mentioned it previously, I don't remember, but it's a mice which happened with my wife and I, that we once went to speak to a great tzaddikess in Yerushalayim, lived next to the Mir Yeshiva. Her name was Esther Segel, great tzaddikess in Yerushalayim. And I remember once we went to talk to her, and we were discussing about bringing up children, marrying them off, finding a good cheder and good friends, and all the problems that parents go through. And she turned round with a, almost like a carelessness, and turned around and said, yes, it's a leichter Sach, a leichter Sach. No parent ever turns round and says it's an easy business bringing up children. I remember we felt afterwards, no one says it's a leichter Sach, and this woman's a great tzaddikess. And never, she was an almona with, I think, 9 children at a very young age. And every time she turned around and said, you know, it's a leichter Sach, it's a gornisht. So I turned around to her and said, it seems that you had a very easy time bringing up your family. I remember. And she turned around and she says, yeah, reicher Tata. I have a very rich father. I don't know, lucky for you, you have a rich father. How many people have rich fathers? You're very fortunate. And there was such a beautiful twinkle in her eye. And I realized, I also have the same reicher Tata. This optimism of her prayer. And she told us, she davened for everything with a full heart. It was almost like she built herself an epic George Washington bridge. She built herself a bridge in her lifetime. And she could turn around, she was, I think she was 80, 85 when we spoke to her, a few years before she died. And she says, Ichoba reicher Tata. I got my way through my bridge. My connection got me where I am. It gave us tremendous chizuk, my wife and I. That's the glory afterwards. People stand and daven a great deal and they put their hearts into tefillah. But you should know there's the nachas coming out of it afterwards as well. When you make those efforts and the great ishtadlus which is made, v'hu yieli lateres tzvi, there is a great honor, a great glory. No one else in the world does that. No one in the world does what we do. We stand there and we ask, we praise him and we thank him and we ask him. That's the yisporeh bi. That's the great honor, the glory. When I have a problem, I turn to him. I don't turn to the bank manager. I don't turn to the lawyer. I don't turn to the architect. I don't turn to the accountant. I turn to Hashem. And that's the crown of glory which I get from it. He has glory that I ask him, but the fact that I made a bridge is my glory afterwards. And that's, we sometimes miss this point, the nachas afterwards. On whatever one davens for, to put one's koichas and to realize afterwards when you see the results, Baruch Hashem, it's from your tefillah. No question it came from your tefillah. These are some of the points which I wanted to bring out. It's a different shiur this week, and not so specific, not so insight, but I hope it gave you inspiration, ideas, and thoughts in how to do from Chana and the way she davened, and the ideas of a tefillah b'chochma, tefillah with a cheshbon nefesh. Speaking out, the conversation, the points which you bring out. She davened at a tremendously great level. She davened for Kavod Shamayim. It's a tremendously high level of tefillah. If you can reach that level sometimes to stop thinking of oneself and asking for Ribbono Shel Olam, she asked for you. I'm going to give the child over to you. A very high level of tefillah. But these are the points of how the bridge is made. And there is a connection. Maybe we'll just finish off with, I don't know if you were around years ago, I think it was after the Six-Day War, someone brought out one of the lines of Rav Nachman Breslov. It's a beautiful line to a song, Kol Ha'olam Kuloi Gesher Tzar Ma'oid V'ha'ika, I'm not going to sing it to you, V'ha'ika Loi Lefacheid, beautiful song. Kol Ha'olam Kuloi, the whole world is a Gesher Tzar Ma'oid, is a very narrow bridge. I was thinking to myself, what does he mean by narrow? is it now this way or is it now that way? I don't know, there's no Peirush Rashi on these words, but perhaps it's narrow this way. Kol ha'olam kulis geshet tzar ma'oid. It's very narrow from here to there. It's not a long way over. V'ha'ikah le'lefache bo, not to be scared. That connection is everything. The connection that you make is everything. Maybe that's what Rabbi Nachman meant. The connection you can make. Don't be scared and thinking I can't connect. Of course you can connect with him. Le'lefached bo, because that is your glory. That is the great honor, the great expertise of Klal Yisrael. She'nizkeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishma kol tefilaseinu. Amen. So there won't be a shiur next week. In 2 weeks' time, we will start in Mitzvah Hashem Al Netilas Yodayim and Asher Yotzah. And if any of you had any stock of monies at all, like we mentioned, I'd appreciate it. Yes?
I want to know what the father did to his
holy
son.
He cried. He was a broken man. I don't know. I spoke to him. I think he took out his son out of the cheder.
I don't know.